Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast. I'm your host, Lene Heiss, and this is episode 75. Today's guests are podcast hosts, authors, sister-in-laws, and young mamas, Emily Jensen and Laura Whiffler. Together, they host the Risen Motherhood podcast, and you will love them. You guys are the absolute best. It's so fun to watch the hashtag Moms in Prayer and to see pictures of what's happening in your groups. Also, reading your comments about the podcast has blessed our socks off. Listen to this one. I've been so incredibly encouraged by these podcasts, soaking up every bit of scripture and note-taking I can get. After listening all summer, I felt the Lord lead me to start a Moms in Prayer group in my area this school year. Although it's out of my comfort zone, I knew in my heart God was leading me. I look forward to each new podcast for more encouragement from these amazing speakers. Thank you, thank you. You guys, that was a gift. Mama Shay 96, thanks for leaving your comments and reviews. The best compliment you can give us and the best way to see Moms in Prayer spread is to continue to share Moms in Prayer with your friends. And I would consider it a high honor if you'd share this podcast as well. You can find today's show notes and ways to connect online with today's guests, the Risen Motherhood Girls, on the blog at momsinprayer.org. Also, thank you for your giving last week and your partnership in furthering the vision of every school in the world covered in prayer. Without any more delay, let's welcome the Risen Motherhood Girls, Emily Jensen and Laura Whiffler, to the podcast. Well, Emily and Laura, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Oh, thanks for having us. It's so fun to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
What a gift to get to talk to you guys today. Why don't you introduce yourselves to the Moms in Prayer family?
Absolutely. I can start. My name is Laura Whiffler, and I am a mama of three kiddos and a wife to Mike. And my days are spent doing all sorts of different things. But one of the bigger things that I do, in addition to being a mom to my kids, is working at Risen Motherhood. And I'm the executive director there, co-host of the podcast. That includes all sorts of things, everything from kind of strategy meetings to vision planning to recording the show and writing social media content, all sorts of stuff. So it's a really, really fun job, and it makes the days go very fast doing all those things. So
I bet it does.
Yeah, I'm Emily Jensen, and I'm actually Laura's sister-in-law.
Yeah.
I'm married to one of her older brothers, Brad. We just celebrated our 10-year anniversary, and we have five kids ranging from 7 to 2. So we're kind of in the phase of doing lots of shuttling back and forth to school and having kind of busy evenings between dinner, homework, and reading and bedtime. It feels like the days are very, very full. So we live in central Iowa as well. And I also work for Risen Motherhood as the content director. I almost said what Laura said. I'm like, nope, that's not my job. Content director. And so, yeah, we just work really, really closely together, seeing all the different things that the ministry does to encourage, equip, and challenge moms with the gospel in their everyday lives. So, yeah, kind of my life right now.
Well, first of all, you guys have been podcasting, I was trying to figure it out, 3 or 4 years. Isn't that right?
Yeah. It'll be 4 years in January.
Oh, that's so fun, which I'm so sorry that our friends aren't able to see you right now, because you guys are podcasting grandmothers almost, but hardly that. So girls, why podcasting? First of all, it's my jam, but why is it your jam? Why is this the medium that you've chosen?
Oh, that's a great question. I think that I love podcasting. I think Emily and I have talked about this a lot. There's something really beautiful about having a conversation and being allowed to hear the inflection of voice or the questioning in your voice and kind of the passion or the hesitation in things. And so there's a way to be able to talk about maybe more complex or nuanced topics through speaking and through podcasting that might be more difficult through the written word. And it's something that when we started Risen Motherhood, we felt like we were having these conversations in real life. And slowly we realized, hey, our other mom friends are wondering these same things. We're having these conversations all over the place and people are curious and they want to know. And so that's why we just started airing like our true thoughts. And in a blog post or written form, it feels like you need to be a little bit more cohesive maybe, or sometimes tied with a pretty bow. But something we love about the podcast medium is that we can kind of say, yeah, that's a great question. And then kind of move on to the next topic. Again, it feels more relational and relatable. So there's just so many pros. I don't know. What would you add?
Which also, I love that you called us grandmothers because I've been wanting to be a grandma. It looks like a lot,
right?
So I don't know what perks come with being a podcast grandma, but I want to. I think moms are really busy with a lot of different things and we're always running around. Our hands are busy, but sometimes our minds want something to process through and think through while our hands are busy folding laundry or pushing a stroller on a walk or maybe driving on a work commute. And we want to be using our minds and our hearts to focus on God and to worship Him and to learn and to grow and to process. And so we feel like the podcast medium is just so good for that. It's something that you can turn on in the background and be encouraged and, you know, edified, but also keep getting your stuff done because we all have stuff we need to do.
Oh, totally. I have gone back recently and listened to a couple of our first episodes. And I remember listening to people saying something and saying, that is so good. And then not having anything to answer next because I was thinking about what they had just said and savoring it. In blog posts, it's almost like you have all the answers, like, or that it looks like you do. But podcasting gives you this moment where we're like, that's good. Mic drop, you know, isn't that so fun?
Well,
guys, I remember distinctly the moment what the Lord dropped into my heart, that motherhood was about more than creating two children that were a byproduct of my husband and me, you know, like whatever that would look like. And it was a game-changing moment. And I'm so grateful the Lord gave it to me early on. I'm sure you guys have had moments like that too, where it's like more than about the stroller that you were going to register for, that kind of thing. So tell me about that, those moments for you and that realization.
Yeah, I think one for me was, like you said, kind of early on in motherhood, I actually had three children in less than 2 years. Our oldest was 16 months when we had twins. And it was just really, really intense season. Effectively, I felt like we had three babies. And it was just a blur for me. And I remember really not having a good handle on all of the different things that I was truly responsible from the Lord, that like the Lord had given me responsibility for. And I was so tired. I distinctly remember sitting in the basement. I think all of our kids were toddling around at this point, and I was watching them play, and I was sitting in this really old like rocking chair that we had. It was kind of dingy and dark down there. And I was reading through a book, and that book, I think it was The Mission of Motherhood or The Ministry of Motherhood by Sally Clarkson.
Oh, and man.
Yes. God.
Sally Clarkson. Yeah.
She brings it. Yeah. She's great.
Yes. It was so helpful. Even though I've been reading scripture and studying the Bible for years, I think to read somebody who could help make the connections of the purpose of motherhood and how important it is, and that, like you're saying, it's a lot more than just the diapers and making sure they have clean clothes and making sure they've got snacks and meals. That's all super good and so important. But then above and beyond that, just somebody casting a vision for caring for their hearts and passing on the truth of the Bible to them. I will remember that moment, even though I'm sure it was a lot of moments, that specifically stands out as a light bulb of, oh, I'm so tired, but in the midst of this, I'm doing something that matters.
Laura, how about you?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I can think of several moments that come to mind, but one of them would be when I had probably two under two, I remember being very, very caught up in the practicals of motherhood, just like Emily's talking about, like, what kind of food do I serve them? What kind of diapers do I put on them? You know, what kind of education or TV should I show them and different things like that. And I'm kind of a type A go-getter person. And so I was just reading all the books and definitely doing a lot of research and Googling and things like that. And I remember my heart, though, was so tied up in how to get this right and how to form the perfect child that was well fed and, you know, had all the right manners and said all the right things and learned all of their letters by, you know, 3 years old or whatever it may be, I was not a very happy mom. I was grumpy and I found that I was very impatient with the kids, or I just felt frustrated whenever I wasn't getting through to them. And so for me, there was a definite season of the Lord just really humbling me and bringing me kind of down and letting me see that what's more important is not how you're training them on the outside, but honestly is how my heart was being trained and how I was being changed in the midst of raising children. And that God was less, I mean, he cares about my children's heart. That's so important, but he also cared about mine. And I was kind of forgetting about mine in the midst of it. And I was just kind of thinking my whole job is to make these kids kind of perfect or raise them so that they're good contributors to society. And instead I needed to stop and say, well, look at my own heart in it. And if my heart is angry and upset during the whole thing, all of this work is for naught. It's for nothing. And I'm not being a good exemplar for my children. I'm not living an authentic life. I'm expecting more out of them than I am out of myself. And so I just have always been really grateful for that season where the Lord just truly humbled me and brought me to my knees to say, Laura, this is for you. I'm using motherhood to refine you. And I'm really, really grateful because it has probably been the single number one thing that God has used to change me and sanctify me and grow me into more Christ-likeness. And I know that that is the goal, you know, of my whole life. And so I'm grateful for that.
I think that is so good and true, right? For all three of us, that motherhood has probably been used by God to change us more than anything else, to conform us.
Marriage.
Oh, yes. Marriage for sure. Marriage. One of the things I so appreciate is that here we are talking about motherhood and the mundane and the things that have to get done and being tired and bleary-eyed. And yet you guys are talking about the gospel weaving through the entire journey of motherhood. Why is the gospel and how is the gospel weaved into the motherhood journey?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And I think what you're saying, the bleary-eyed season of new motherhood, is so true, right? We're just trying to get enough sleep at night. We're maybe realizing like, oh, my stomach is growling. When was the last time I stopped and ate a meal? Like those are kind of the things we're starting to think about. And so it's really easy and really tempting to get our identity and what we think about ourselves and how we view the world around us through the lens of just motherhood, because this role is so important to us. We care a lot about our kids. Like what Laura's saying, we want to get it right. That's a good godly desire. So we tend to really start to see ourselves as primarily moms. But what we find very quickly, not just for our own hearts, but all of us who kind of get into this identity trap, is that that is not meant to fulfill us. We can't ever be good enough moms. Moms, we weren't created to just be a mom. We were created as a woman made in the image of God, created to worship him, created to enjoy relationship with him, and to show everyone around us what the character of God is like, to show them the love of Christ. That's really where our identity and our purpose is rooted. Now, that then flows into a lot of different roles, right? Our role, maybe if we're married, as a wife, as a mom, as a coworker, as, you know, a community member, a church member, that's going to affect all the things in our lives. And so that's one reason why we really want to communicate the gospel to moms, because that's that underarching story that helps everything else in our lives make sense. It tells us, you know, why we were created, who we were created for. It tells us why things are so hard, why we struggle, why we sin, why there are sad things that happen in life, at least at a high level. And it also shows us where our hope is found. God hasn't left us there only in the sin and the struggle and the brokenness. He sent his son, Jesus Christ. He's provided us hope and help. And then it also helps us see that this life is not all there is. There's actually an unseen eternal story that's playing out. And so our lives are actually a very, very short snippet of our entire existence. And that helps reframe everything else about our daily lives. So we think that when moms get that story and understand that and begin to see themselves as swept up in it, a lot of other things begin to make more sense.
And I would just add that I think it brings a lot of freedom to a mom. As Emily was saying, and I was talking about with my own story, we get very easily tangled up into the practicals and the everyday. And it might be something that's huge and monumental or small and mundane, but those things tend to take our attention and our focus. And we kind of think, am I doing this right? Am I getting it right? And as Emily said, because of Christ, like, we have freedom to be able to do things maybe differently than the mom next door. Or like Emily and I, we're different moms, but we both know what we're called to. We both know that we are called to love God above all else and to love others. And so that is a great mission for a mom to focus on, but it also gives her a lot of areas to say, hey, this is what it looks like in my unique circumstances. Because when you think of motherhood through all of time and all the ages, it's looked vastly different. But yet all of these women were able to be faithful to what God had called them to. And so it's not just this, you know, middle-class American version of motherhood. There's actually this deeper standard or core of motherhood that undergirds, as Em was saying, what true Christian motherhood looks like. And so we can get caught up in all of these kind of surface, here's how it plays out, here's the clothes I need to wear and the food I need to buy to be a good mom. But instead, what God is saying is, are you faithful to my purposes? Do you love the things that I love? Do you hate the things that I hate? Are you raising your children to know me? Do you know me yourself? And so those are the things that God calls us to. But how they play out may look like a mom choosing to do foster care, a mom saying, I'm going to volunteer at the shelter, a mom saying, I'm at my kid's school and I'm investing there. I'm working. I'm not working. There are all sorts of ways that this can play out, but it's all undergirded by the gospel. And that's why we're so passionate about a mom getting it under her skin and saying, this is the narrative. I know that I'm a part of such a bigger story than my day to day that I can rest and trust that what the Lord has put before me today is enough, because Jesus is enough.
About that moment where I was sitting on my bed where I realized motherhood was about more than just this byproduct of my husband and I, I realized that motherhood is also about seeing every generation worship Jesus until he returns, and that I got to play a part of raising the next generation to know and love him. And when that fell on my heart, the first thing that I realized was that I was not adequate for the mission that was in front of me, the job that was, and that I needed the Lord to be a part of every step. And that is where my journey into prayer really began. Before I knew Moms in Prayer existed, before any of that hit my life or my radar, I was realizing that I had aligned to the Heavenly Father and that I was in desperate need of him. I bet prayer has played an important role in your lives too. Talk to me about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that we can pray. You know, I just think about what a gift it is that we can talk to the Lord Almighty, who is holy and perfect and just and mighty. And yet me, a mere human that is not worthy of him at all, can speak to him anytime I want. And so I do find prayer such a gift to be able to just voice everything to the Lord. And I definitely go through seasons. I don't want to act like, oh, I'm just like the best at prayer, but it is something that I continue to lean on and just remember that this is a gift that has been given to me because of Jesus Christ, sacrifice and atonement to make a way for me to speak to the Lord. And it has been just a continual murmur in my mind as I give everything back to the Lord. And I love that we can ask him for help. I think that's probably my number one prayer is help me.
Yeah.
And so often I find that I may only be able to eke out those two words, but just say, God, help me, just be with me here. And that might be in the middle of a conversation with my son where discipline needs to happen, or it may be when I'm doing a podcast like this. It may be when I'm driving to school and there is weird traffic or whatever. And so I'm so grateful that God answers and he shows up and that we have this amazing line to speak to him. I don't know, Em, I feel like I've been going for a bit. You want to pop in?
Yeah, I don't have a ton to add. I think that's similar to how I viewed it in motherhood, is just to realize over time that prayer matters, mm-hmm. and prayer does change things,
yeah.
but it doesn't always change things in the way that we think that it will. You know, sometimes we bring a question or concern to the Lord, and instead of giving us exactly what it is we think we want, he changes our hearts, or he gives us what is actually better for us and better for the situation, because he is all-knowing and he has all the wisdom. But for me, it's really a posture of coming to him and saying, I can't, I'm insufficient. You are fully sufficient. I don't have all the information. You have all the information. I don't have access to my child's heart and brain and mind and body. You have access to that. And then it's really us coming open-handed and saying, God, if this is what I want to pray back your word to you and ask you to do the things you've already said you love and the things that you already love to do. And it's just a joy to watch that. And one of the blessings lately for prayer for me is that when I come to him with specific things that are maybe, I don't want to call them small, but they're just more measurable. Maybe they're grounded in like what I want to see happen that day or what it is that I'm thinking about. It is so cool to get to rejoice and watch him answer and to look back and say, we asked that of God. We prayed that that would happen. And here we are a week later, 2 weeks later, and we're seeing this change. We recently invited our church family into some bigger health issues for one of our children. And I'm not kidding. Like, it felt like for a while, like stuff was just stagnant. And we invited our church family to pray. And every week I'm getting to come back and go, I can't believe this happened. Can you believe this happened? Look at this. Look at this growth. Look at this progress. And God doesn't always answer that way, but it's even just been fun to rejoice with a community over what God does through prayer. So it's just really cool.
It is amazing to just trust that the Holy Spirit's going to work and move, and that when we ask God in specific ways, I think it's a little bit easier to see how he works specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And
yeah,
not just,
we see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And not to say again that he answers it with the way that we want, or, you know, and if he doesn't, if he chooses something else, he's still good. But I think there's something really beautiful about, even I've been more diligent about keeping a prayer journal, and both because I'm forgetful and I do not remember who or what I committed to pray for or desired to pray for, but also going back to exactly what you're saying, Em, of just like seeing the ways that God mm-hmm. works, of like, I'll even forget that I prayed for something, you know, or like that was, and so to be able to look back and see those chronicled, I think is awesome and a really helpful tool for me to just remind myself of what I want to do. I think sometimes we're such forgetful beings that, you know, we make these resolutions, it might be mid-year, it doesn't matter when, but we make these commitments, and then we so easily forget when we're caught up in the day-to-day. And so something like writing them down is, I think, really, really helpful. And the last thing that I'll add that I see as a huge and high value in prayer is I do think it rewrites the narrative in our minds, for going back to the gospel story, that when we pray rightly with an understanding of who we are before a holy God, I think it reminds us of the big picture of the story that we're in, and that we are a part to play, but that we're not the hero, that Jesus is the hero. And prayer truly does that for the believer. That really truly is the point of prayer, is to orient our hearts after his and to fall in love with the things that he loves. And so I think that is just a huge advantage and gift of taking time to pray, is that chance to repeat the old story, the ancient story that we're still in our modern lives, and to remember the good gifts of Jesus and what he's done for us, and that eternal hope that we have. And even if our circumstances don't change in front of us in the moment, we can know that our hearts have been reoriented, and there's peace and there's trust and commitment to the Lord that is brought through voicing our concerns to him.
So much of the Moms in Prayer commitment to 1 hour a week praying mm-hmm. for our kids and their schools is all the things that you just talked about. It's bringing people into community, which means you have gone before the Lord together, which does something in your friendships with other mm-hmm. women. But it also reminds us we're accountable for what God is doing. We're mm-hmm. watching for him to work, yeah. which is sometimes why we're missing it in the first yeah. place. Yeah. It motherhood, I don't know about you, but I'm worried about today.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
what we were praying about yesterday, but like the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And so we're on this wheel that we can't get off of unless we remember what we were praying for, which is just like you said, Laura, just a part of the journey is remembering what we've asked for so that we can be people of gratitude. As
yes.
well.
Great point.
You guys, this is a part of your daily language, that there are four parts of the gospel message. And I think the people that are listening may not understand that. So could you just, like, maybe Emily, you could take a whack at this. What are the four parts of the gospel message? Just mm-hmm. the highlights of those, so that everybody who's listening, who I'm sure actually knows them, mm-hmm. have their minds tuned to those four parts.
Of course, yeah. So I think the first thing to start with is just what we mean by the word gospel, and the gospel is good news. Some people, when they hear the gospel, immediately just think of Jesus's death and resurrection on the cross, and that we need to put our hope and our faith in him, repent of our sin, turn to him so that we can receive forgiveness and have eternal life. And that's definitely like a core part of the good news. But I think the way we are using the term is a little bit more broadly, and to say, hey, in order to understand the whole story of the good news, we really need to go back and understand the beginning of the story, the bad news, this death and resurrection of Christ, and then the hope that is to come. And so one way that we've spoken of that is in this four part kind of
mnemonic.
Thank you. And that is creation, fall, redemption, consummation. And so those four parts really encompass the whole Bible, the whole story of Scripture. And creation is really a way of thinking about that God made everything and that he had a plan and a purpose and a design for everything. So when we're thinking about creation, we're asking that question: what was God's original purpose in this? What was his original good purpose and how he made motherhood, or how he made children, or what, all those different things? We're asking that question. And then in the fall, we are looking at the reality that people rebelled and they turned away from God and they sinned, and that severed our relationship with him. And it actually put the whole world in this state of groaning and brokenness until Christ finally returns. And that's really where we're living now. And that helps us understand things like, you know, why do I struggle so much with selfishness, or why am I so prideful, or why is this so hard, or even different things that happen in motherhood, whether it's medical problems that arrive or just life seems really hard. The fall helps us understand that. Then in redemption, that's really the part of the story where, you know, Jesus comes to earth and he lives a perfect life, that just what we were talking about earlier. He goes to the cross, he dies, he's risen from the dead, and then he sends his Holy Spirit to indwell in believers. And that's a really important thing, and why we sometimes say we're living in the already but not yet. Jesus has already paid the penalty for our sin, but the whole issue isn't quite yet resolved. We're still waiting for him to return. But what that means for us today is that we can be a part of the church. There is community around us that can help us follow him. We can walk according to the Spirit instead of just the flesh. And we have the Word of God. We're able to get wisdom from God's Word in his Bible and to apply that to our lives. And then finally, in consummation, the word consummation just really means to complete something, to bring it to its full, final perfection. And that will happen when Jesus returns and there's a final judgment on sin, on death. All of that is going to be resolved in a way that's perfectly loving and just. And then there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth where believers are going to be able to live with God forever. And that is really what we're looking forward to. That's what we're going to be spending most of our time doing if we are in Christ. And so that's kind of the four parts of the gospel. And we try to really use that as a framework for any topic that we are thinking through.
I think that helps so much. But tell me, you guys, how we practice this gospel message in the middle of mundane motherhood. Like, I mean, we think about the gospel when someone's sharing the gospel or when we want to win our kids to Christ, but how does this infuse through our days?
Yeah, this is something that Emily and I have asked ourselves as well, because you heard her talk there and that maybe took 5 minutes or so to walk through that. And often we don't have 5 seconds, and we're trying to very quickly respond to the situation in front of ourselves. And so we would say a few things. First of all, the way to get the gospel message under your skin is just studying God's word. So in those pieces of time that you do have where you can sit down, whether that's 5 minutes or an hour, that you are looking at the story of Scripture and not just saying, I'm going to pluck this verse out and study this verse, but you're looking at it in the context of all of God's word. And we have resources on our website. The number one thing we would say is just be in God's word and read it over and over and over again, but ask yourselves, where does this particular piece of scripture that I'm reading, how does it fit into the overarching meta-narrative, the overarching story of God's word and of the Bible? The second thing we would say is have conversations with friends. So when you do have those pockets of time to be able to chat with a neighbor or a friend at church, or, you know, Emily and I sit down and talk, we'll ask each other, well, man, food, I'm really struggling because I want to feed my kids healthy, but I feel like all I can ever do is chicken nuggets. Should I feel guilt about that? What does the Bible say about serving my kids chicken nuggets? And while you're not going to find chicken nuggets in the Bible, you will find, I know, you will find helpful things to say. What do we need to care most about? What do we need to invest in most? And we'll see that God's word says it's about the heart and it's about the intention, and that things always go deeper. And so you can have these conversations about, well, what is my heart when I feed my kids these things? What am I valuing? Ease and convenience, or their, you know, nutrition, or the fact that we have other priorities in life and this is what works right now. I mean, there are so many things where there's freedom to feed your kids chicken nuggets. I want to make that very clear. But conversations with other people who love Jesus, love the Lord, who want to know the gospel will really help, I think, make big headway right in figuring out how it applies to your daily life. And then in the moment, I would just say prayer and giving it back to the Lord and asking God to lead you. It may not be that you are walking through the gospel narrative in every moment when your kiddo is throwing a tantrum from putting on their coat, but you're just asking and going back to prayer. Lord, show me what to do right now. Show me what I should say, where I should be firm, where I should have grace. And so the gospel infuses everything that we do because we can see it modeled in the life of Jesus and through the whole Bible. And I think that God is faithful to show up and provide and understand that, because she might not have time to go through the mnemonic device of the gospel right now, because it's not a formula. It's not always going to spit out the right answer, but I'm going to be faithful to her because I love her and she's my daughter and I've promised to show up for her. And so I think it's giving yourself a long season of learning and practicing and growing, but then also in the moment, trusting that God's going to be faithful when you have a right heart to say, I want to honor you, Lord. I want to live out the gospel in this moment right here with my kids, and trust that, like, wherever you're at on the path, God's going to show up because he cares. He cares about making his name honored, his name glorified. And so if you ask with a humble heart, he'll be there.
You know what's so fun about that, and even about the chicken nugget thing, is that it does depend. As women, as moms, we want to make a rule and a guideline that everybody should not feed their kids chicken nuggets. But sometimes the most spiritual thing that I could do is to feed my kids chicken nuggets.
Amen. Yes.
And then have the energy to spend time with them to talk about devotions at the end of the night.
Yes.
Or I could be being lazy in my spirit, and what I really need to do is spend that time nurturing. And we can't blanket apply law over this situation. That's where prayer comes in. That's where gospel infuses everything, is walking in this freedom that we have. It's one of the reasons I love listening to you guys, is because the gospel does invade every part of our lives. One of the things that I wanted to ask, I know, Laura, I just put you on the spot, but you wrote the chapter about this, so we do need to, maybe you both can weigh in, but we're about to come down on the holidays. And for whatever reason, it is the woman's job most of the time to cook the holidays and traditions in the home. And moms do get to set the spiritual climate for the homes. And this was a real fun chapter for me to read in your book, thinking about the gospel infusing through our traditions. So how would you recommend we develop family traditions? You say that point to God as our greatest treasure. Give us some, like, we're barely surviving motherhood. How do we make Thanksgiving and Christmas look like maybe Jesus would want them to look?
I love that. Yeah, I think for me, it's kind of in the theme of our conversation today, but just remembering it always goes back to the heart. And so regardless of, you know, how many crafts and activities I do, what kind of food I make, we do a countdown paper chain, or we have a 10-foot Christmas tree, whatever that may be, the Lord looks upon the heart. And he asks us to have a heart that is honoring and glorifying him in all that we do. And so I know that as I've grown in traditions over the years, and I do, just like every mom, I want to make holidays special. I want to make them unique. I want my kids to have fond memories when they grow up. But if my goal is for them to someday look back and say, wow, mom just knocked it out of the park. She had these amazing traditions. She always made these cinnamon rolls, and I just loved them and all those things, then my goal is wrong. My goal during the holiday season should be to trust God and to know that He will direct my steps, and that I want my children to know His love more than anything else. And so if I am an impatient, unkind mom in the midst of, you know, what's some traditions, oh, our Advent calendar maybe in our devos, but I'm yelling around and upset and frustrated because they won't sit still, then we probably need to change something in what our traditions look like, and to consider, hey, how is it that I can show my kids the love of Jesus, and what kind of traditions can I execute, and what can my expectations be? How can I reevaluate my expectations of my children? And to remember that the Lord is saying, I want you to be faithful in this moment, to love the kids, not just to get them to be parroting back catechisms or true spiritual truths, but that those things will come. So if you do those things in love and you share about them, share with your children about God's love, then like those other spiritual truths that we so want to impart on our kids, they will come. And so I just go back to kind of asking myself, is this something that I can do, this tradition or this activity or craft, that I can do with that, what I tell my kids, a happy heart? Or is it something that maybe we need to wait till next year, and just to trust that you can have a slow build for traditions, and you can try one thing one year and say, wow, that did not work. And you can do something different the next year, that traditions don't necessarily, I think we think, well, we need to do these for 20 years so that it's a tradition. But instead, I think trusting, especially when you have young children and things are a little crazy and just hard to get done, that, hey, maybe every year we eat some candy together, and that's our tradition, and it is fun, and the kids remember, and we're able to do that. That is enough, you know, and to not put cultural pressures on ourselves. So would you add anything, Emily?
Yeah, that was great. I totally agree with everything. And I think for me, as we're heading into the holiday season, one thing I always have to go back to is, if I want to set the spiritual climate, is me making the time myself to go to be with the Lord and to focus on Him, to make time for rest in my own heart, and to be learning and growing in His word, to be spending time in prayer. Because oftentimes I'll maybe put my energy into those like outward things, which are super good, and they still train like really important spiritual habits in our kids. But maybe I am doing that and I'm crowding out time in the word, and it's just really difficult to set a spiritual tone when we ourselves are not making God the priority of our lives. So that's kind of what I'm thinking about going into the season too, is just how I can make that space myself first if I'm going to be asking that of our kids and our family.
Well, you guys, I am so grateful, Emily and Laura, for your time this morning. I know our friends are too. And I'm grateful that you're speaking hope into the reality of motherhood, which is a huge blessing and honor, but also probably one of the greatest challenges of our lives. Your book, Risen Motherhood, we'll have all the links in our show notes so that they can figure out where to get that. And I know that they're going to want to tune into the Risen Motherhood podcast too. But you guys, as we get ready to sign off our time, I wonder if you would, maybe Emily, maybe you could do this, that you could pray for the mom that's listening who's like, oh my gosh, I barely survived getting my kids on the bus this morning. I don't know how to share the gospel with them or infuse it in the day today. Could you pray for that, mom?
Sure. Heavenly Father, you are the Almighty God who sees all things and knows all things and who loves all of us deeply. And God, you know our frame. You know that we are dust. You know that we are weak and that we struggle. And God, I just pray for any mom listening who feels the weight of her insufficiency, who feels the weight of her weakness, who is just weary and is tired of feeling like she cannot get herself together and that she's just failing in every area. God, you bind up the brokenhearted. You care about those of us who are humble and have nothing to bring. God, would you help each and every one of those moms to come to you with the heart of a beggar, with hands open, saying, I have nothing I can bring to you, God, but I want to receive your grace and your love through your Son, Jesus Christ. And would you help all of us to turn our eyes then to Jesus and to see that you have provided love and acceptance and enoughness before your throne? And then, God, would you strengthen her weak knees, help her to hold fast, help her to have a reinvigorated, renewed desire to work hard for you in whatever task you've given her today.
and sustain her in that she would glorify you, God. And we just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, you guys, thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having us.
And before we get off, I just have to get you guys to promise to come back, because this is a conversation we need to talk about all the time.
Of course.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
All right, good.
The gospel changes everything, friends. Every little bit of motherhood. And aren't you glad? Before I let you go, would you consider doing at least one of the following three things? One, jump on our website and join a Moms in Prayer group if you aren't in a group. That's why we're doing this. Today is the day to join us in fighting for the next generation in prayer and to find that prayer community that you've been longing for. Two, share this episode with a friend right now. It's easy to click share and to send it in a text to a friend who may be feeling bleary-eyed in this motherhood thing. Or three, give. It's easy to give to support the life-changing ministry of Moms in Prayer and help us continue to see every school in the world covered in prayer. Jump on the website or text the word steward to 41444. That's the word steward to 41444. We love being on this vital mission of motherhood with you. Jump on social media and share the ways the gospel is shaping your prayer life and motherhood with us using the hashtag Moms in Prayer. You can at Leanine Heiss and at Moms in Prayer so we can see it too. We'll be watching. Moms are making the difference. Moms applying faith. Moms just like you. See you next week.